Everybody uses Rotten Tomatoes as the source to find out the ratings. Ratings for movies. Do you want to go see Britney Runs a Marathon this weekend? Well, after you read my review, of course, go to Rotten Tomatoes and find out what their critics are saying. It's an aggregate site, so you have hundreds of critics all weighing in on films. They are given a fresh or rotten rating, and you get a chance to click on reviews and read reviews from all over the world and get an idea of whether or not you want to go see a movie that you've looked up or not. We all know that because everybody uses it. On the line, we have Rotten Tomatoes editor-in-chief Joel Mears, and they're doing something very exciting over there, and it will tie into the Toronto International Film Festival, which of course starts here on Thursday. But Joel, I just want to get a sense of you, where all this this new thrust that you have coming here at Rotten Tomatoes, the new idea that you're expanding and expanding rapidly the amount of critics that you have on your site. About a year ago, in August 2018, you started inviting more people to join. Why and who are you inviting?
Well, good evening, Richard. I'm glad you led with that because it's something we're incredibly proud of. And we're incredibly happy to be able to share the news that we added since August last year, 600 new critics to the Tomato Meter pool. So that means we've essentially approved 600 new critics to feature their reviews within the Tomato Meter scores that people are using. So what we did, for those who don't really sort of know the ins and outs of how Rotten Tomatoes works, is we updated the criteria by which we vet critics to be included in the Tomato Meter score. So traditionally, critics had to meet a number of different criteria, you know, including audience size, experience, writing for particular publications, etc. When we looked at the media landscape as it was, noting that there were many more freelancers working in the market, that times had changed in terms of how media was being distributed, and also the fact that we wanted to have a more inclusive group of critics who contributed to the scores, including those that represented perhaps underrepresented groups or were writing for those groups, we decided to look at the criteria and make some adjustments that we opened the gate a little bit more. Now, we kept up the rigorous standards. We're still looking for original insight and dedication to the craft, and we have a team of people that are actually actively vetting people. But we did want to make it more representative of the media landscape and also for the group to be more representative of the movie-going audience.
Because the stats, and I don't have them in front of me, but the stats were saying something like 85 to 90% of film critics were white males. There weren't that many women writing film criticism, and people of color were feeling excluded from the process. So this is a way of including them and including them on, you know, one of the world's biggest platforms for film criticism.
Absolutely. So there have been a number of studies that look at the percentages of you know, male to female and minority representation. And those numbers, you know, I'm not sure exactly the study, but, people can get different numbers. What we do know, obviously, is that it has been somewhat unbalanced. And for Rotten Tomatoes, what we know we can do is that we can expand the criteria so that we can allow more people into the room. Now, what happens there, you know, of the new group of 600 that we approved over the last year, 55% of those are female, and 10% of those, interestingly, are actually working on new media platforms. Mm-hmm. That's places like YouTube and podcasting. But the other interesting thing is, you know, approving them on Rotten Tomatoes is one thing. The next step is that those critics need to get their stories placed in publications and need to actually get published. So it's a whole ecosystem of, are people getting invited to screenings? Are people necessarily getting their reviews published on sites, in magazines, etc.? So I think if we're looking at the entire ecosystem of criticism and trying to make that a more diverse and rich conversation, we're trying to do our part, and we really want our industry to work with us on that front.
And so what you've done, and this is how it ties into the Toronto International Film Festival, which starts on Thursday here, is that you have committed $100,000 a year. I think you did last year, and then this is a re-up of another $100,000, right?
Yes, it is.
To support film festival initiatives, get people who perhaps otherwise wouldn't be able to get to film festivals like the Toronto International Film Festival, and get them on the ground, get them accredited, help them, you know, fly take a train, drive, however they want to get there, and have accommodation while they're here so that they can practice their craft and do it at a very high level working at a festival like this.
Yeah, so the thing about something like TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival, or other festivals like Sundance, is that they're so extraordinarily important to setting the conversation, not just in terms of which films are going to be awards contenders, mm-hmm. although obviously TIFF is a big player in that, but which films are getting accolades, which films people should be drawing attention to. And it all starts at these festivals, because the narrative around films really does begin the moment they're screened at a place like Toronto. So for us, it's extremely important, if we're going to be opening up the criteria to include new voices, that these voices are heard in that context when the important discussions and talking points are being made. So yes, we have last year donated $100,000, and this year we're re-upping to initiatives that help critics get to the festivals, because we've done a lot of research and surveys. And one of the things we found from our critics and the feedback is that one of the hugest challenges is just physically getting to mm-hmm. a festival and finding accommodation, because I'm sure, as many people know, in Toronto this time of year,
it's expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah. I'm speaking with the Rotten Tomatoes editor-in-chief, Joel Mears. Earlier, you had mentioned that the idea of sort of encouraging a new group of critics, and you have 600 individually approved critics now that will be appearing on Rotten Tomatoes, is to find avenues for them to be published. But is it not really the case that, you know, Twitter is just these days as probably well-read and you know, legit a place to review a film as writing a 3,000-word essay that might appear in, you know, some literary film magazine?
Well, I think that depends on your particular taste in media. Mm-hmm. The one thing about Twitter is that people don't get paid to tweet. I guess you could talk about influencer culture. But, you know, we find that, you know, we would talk about the ecosystem, for mm-hmm. example. We know that Rotten Tomatoes accreditation, for many people in our recent survey, we got feedback this is the case, actually helps them get access to screenings.
Right.
Because, you know, studios are going to say, that person is tomato meter approved, therefore I know that their score is going to count towards their review is going to count towards my movie mm-hmm. score. So it helps them get in the door. It also helps them get, you know, assignments as well. Ultimately the Twitter conversation is absolutely right. That is where a lot of the film conversation is happening and starting now, but still the score is a really important thing, and you're not able to contribute to that if you're only publishing on Twitter. You need to be self-publishing if you're an individually approved critic, or published in an actual venue that's going to be contributing to the tomato meter. So I think there's some truth to that, but it's hard for people to make a living just by tweeting.
Oh, no, absolutely it is. But I mean, I've been a film critic for 25 years here in Toronto, and I will tell you that there are more people than ever writing film criticism. I don't know that there are barriers to film criticism. I mean, festivals are another thing, but if you can get to a movie, you can write about it and you can self-publish quite easily. But there's never been fewer people making a living doing it than there are right now.
That is absolutely the case. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things, you know, I think that thing about making a living, and I think that's a real change in the media landscape. 20 years ago, so many of the film critics writing were actually associated with publications mm-hmm. or were housed at a certain publication or broadcasting network. That really isn't the case anymore, which is why when we revamped the criteria, we did try to put a focus on individually approved critics. So we've always had publication and individually approved critics, but it did traditionally lean heavily into publication approval. This new criteria was about opening it up so that freelancers would have more chances, not just to get on the tomato meter, but that they could use that accreditation to actually get their work seen.
Joel, thanks so much. Will you be in Toronto for the festival?
I will, and I'm incredibly excited. I love Toronto, and there's a huge number of films there. There's so much to get excited about. I'm looking forward to Jojo Rabbit, personally. and as an Australian, there's a number of awesome Australian premieres, actually, happening there, including The True History of the Kelly Gang. So I will be seeing Toronto, but mostly locked in theaters all day.
Yeah, sitting in dark rooms. I saw The Lighthouse today, and it's tremendous. So
I'm so excited about that. I think 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Block off a couple of hours for that one. It's worth it. Joel, thank you very much.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Rotten Tomatoes editor-in-chief Joel Mears on the company's renewal of a $100,000 grant to assist critics from underrepresented groups attain access at key film festivals like the Toronto International Film Festival coming up next week.